Going to be reading from Psalm 73 this afternoon. Psalm 73. Psalms down through the years, down through the ages, has been very precious to the people of God because it expresses so many different levels of experience of the Lord's people towards the Lord and towards others. I've split the psalm into three parts. The first part is just verse 1, and the second part takes us from verse 2 through to verse 16, and I'll read those first two parts. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death or struggles before their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak this, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I want to work on this as a understanding of perspective, or two perspectives that we can have. Perhaps you've heard the story before about the blind men who were taken to the zoo to look over the animals by a guide and a zookeeper, and they came to the elephant. And the zookeeper decided to let them touch the beast. So one picked up the tail and said, oh, the elephant is like a rope. Another one touched the leg and said, no, the elephant is like the trunk of a tree. Another one walked into the side of the elephant and said, no, the elephant is like a wall, big and solid. And the zookeeper and the guide looked at each other and winked. They'd not really got a grasp of the full perspective of the animal, the elephant. Asaph has a problem like this. He is unable to see the full picture of what is going on in the world. Part one is verse one, which declares to us how Asaph had been educated, where he was coming from, what was with him in his life. And he said that truly God is good to Israel, even to them, even to such as are of a clean heart. Here, Asaph seems to stand on solid ground. He has a grasp of things. But it's almost like a dead letter when we come to verse 2 and onwards, as he slides in a spiral down in his perspective of how things are with the Lord's people and with himself, as he slides down into a depression. He declared that God was good and then started to question it. Of course, the Lord Jesus himself, there is none good but God. God only is good. He was aware, Asaph was aware that God blessed his people in time past. That seems to be the case. But he plunges into despair. His experience seems so different to what he'd been taught. What he experienced in life seemed to contradict everything that he knew. This creed that he had in verse 1, his experience taught him different. And in verse 2 through to 16, we see that Asaph is standing on very slippery ground and he's descending into despair. And Asaph's problem is one that we all experience to some degree from time to time. We lack full perspective, full vision of what the world is like and what the Lord is like. We misinterpret the goodness of God. We often think that goodness would translate into blessing for us. You could ask Job about the logic of that. Job was good. Job stood upright before the Lord, and then his life turned into a disaster. And he went through so much suffering psychologically and physically as well, as he was exposed to rough treatment at the hands of the enemy. And there's our Lord Jesus himself, who was good, declared to be the Lamb of God because he was pure, because he was spotless, his life unblemished by sin, absolutely, without sin, without ever offending against his Father. He was pure, he was holy, he was the second Adam. When you look at the life that he led, and then consider the suffering that came towards the end of it, how he was reviled by people, how he was mistreated, and of course, for our sakes, crucified. For many years, churches have perhaps thought of something like a health and wealth gospel, even if not declared. People have been led to believe that if they have led the right kind of life, then the world would treat them well. Life would treat them well. They would think that the Lord is obligated to give them good things, precious things. That kind of teaching is not true. It is a lie. And as we read through our Bibles, from Genesis through to Revelation, when we look at the experiences of the people of God, Abraham, he suffered. Moses, he suffered. Joseph, he suffered. All through the Bible, the people of God have suffered things. The Lord allows things into our lives that are hard to bear. We are still subject to suffering. Sometimes loads are placed upon our shoulders that would break us. We need to remember that the Lord is molding us. We're like lumps of clay, and when that lump is disfigured as I am, the Lord needs to mold me, to shape me into his image. It takes a lot of squeezing. So Asaph had learnt the truth about God, that God was good, that God blessed his people. But what he saw contradicted that. What he saw was the prosperity of the sinner or the wicked. And it bothered him that the wicked prospered while the people of God did not. He also saw that the sinner seemed to be at peace with things and led an untroubled life. He watched them live their lives in sin and slip off into an eternity without any problems. He was amazed at the peace that they had in death. He was troubled by the pleasure that sinners experienced. He was astounded that the wicked could live lives of such sin and do so without any trouble. Their good times just seemed to roll on and on. He also was amazed at the pride of the sinner, the pride of the wicked, because they live the lives they do, and there doesn't seem to be an opposition from the Lord. They're filled with pride before the Lord, and they say, God doesn't know, God doesn't exist. And even if he does, he is weak and unable to stop what is going on. They squeeze the last drop of pleasure from life, and Asaph was watching this and plunging into despair. Asaph took all this in, and it caused him to become bitter in his heart. And he looked at the life that he'd been living before the Lord. Verily, I cleanse my heart, he said, in vain. I washed my hands in innocency, but it seemed to be in vain as well. He looked at his life that he'd been living for the Lord. He looked at his own share of sorrow, and he looked at how his people had been treated, and it broke his heart. It seemed so unjust, and he felt like quitting, ending his run as a believer and as a child of God. The problem that Asaph had, and we sometimes have, is that we look at lives viewed through human eyes, human perspective, and fail to see the true side of the coin. We always focus attention upon ourselves, and we think, how does this affect me? What problems will I face, or do I face? When will I ever have relief from my problems? Who cares about what I'm facing?